Exodus chapter 21. I'll talk to you for a little bit tonight. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 is where we'll begin reading in chapter 21 of Exodus. Read to you a few verses here. Amen. God's given out the law to Moses, the law of God. Chapter 20 has 10 commandments in it. That kind of puts this in perspective for you. And chapter 20 would deal with the 10 commandments. And then chapter 21, we kind of go right into these verses that I'm going to read to you this evening. All right, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Yes. Notice those words there. If he plainly say, I love my master, I will not go out free. I love my master, I will not go out free. Amen. It's a kind of an interesting story there that read, but notice the place that it's put right after the Ten Commandments, right after the law of God. Then we comes in, he starts laying down and telling Moses how to deal with certain issues and certain social settings that they might find themselves in. Starts by saying that a Hebrew servant, Hebrew slave, if a man buy a Hebrew slave. If you bought a Hebrew slave, you were allowed to keep them for 7 years. You could work them for 7 years. Their price varied depending upon their abilities, what abilities they had. But if you bought them, they served for 7 years. 7 years. Then at the conclusion of 7 years, they would go free. They would walk. They could go do whatever they pleased. They had served their time. They had paid their price, their debt. Only if there was a few ways that you could become a slave and become a servant as a Hebrew. It was by becoming a thief, stealing, breaking the law, by becoming indebted to someone and you had no ability to pay that debt. Then you would become, you could be sold as a slave. Not only that, but maybe if it was your children. If you was a child and your dad had debt, they could take the children, sell the children to pay the debt. Wow, sounds kind of rough, don't it? Sounds kind of rough, but they'd work for those 7 years, and then they could go free, and they could be set free. But on the year of Jubilee, that was the 50th year. You can do the math if you want to. 7 and 7 is 49. 50 is the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. All servants, all went free. Everybody was allowed to go free if they would like, regardless of the time that they had served. But I'm trying to lay a foundation here. Here, this man that broke a law, was sold into slavery. But here a man would buy that Hebrew slave, pay the price for him in a market, in an auction, in a bid, buy this man, and he would serve for his master for those years and paying his debt. If he came into that arrangement with the wife when he left, he could take his wife with him. If he came into that arrangement alone, he had to leave alone. All right? If he had a wife and a wife when he came into this issue of slavery, he could take his wife and he could leave after 7 years. If he came into slavery alone by himself at the end of 7 years, he had to leave by himself. He had to leave everything else behind. If while he was in slavery, he was granted a wife, and because of a wife, he was given, had children, and that wife was given to him by his master. At the end of those 7 years, the wife and the children stayed with the master. He was allowed to go out on his own by himself. It sounds cruel. We're not used to this. We're not aware, you know, we don't deal with this today. But can I tell you, I just want to draw a picture of something here for you. Here was a man that had been caught in some kind of act of crime, if you would. He had some debt hanging over him. And in order to pay that debt to the society of Israel, he had to serve his time as a slave. You know, every one of us, we know what it is to have a debt hanging over us that we could not pay. We know what it is. Every one of us know what it is to have a debt in our life that we cannot pay. No, I'm not talking about monetary. I'm not talking about a monetary debt. I'm not talking about a loan that you may have taken out. But I am talking about a debt of sin that is upon every one of us that we could not pay. That we could not pay that debt. Where there was no way that we could escape it. Amen. We owed a debt. And we could not pay. He paid the debt that we did not even, that he did not owe. Amen. That's what happened here was this man would come and he would buy out this man and buy out his debt and pay off his crime in order to bring this man into his house, into his home, and to provide for him and make him his slave. You say, now that don't sound like he's doing him a favor. Don't sound like he's doing him a favor by making him into a slave. Just as we have a law spelled out here, right here in these words, amen, how long they should serve and what their conditions can be, amen, there was also very strict laws on how that servant was to be treated. There's very strict laws on what they, how are they to provide for and to treat and to care for that servant. There was a minimum requirement. And they would take them in and they would provide for them. And they would work for them and pay off their debt. And pay that debt off. But what I want you to look at is after a while, after working as a slave for that person that had paid his debt, he has the option and the freedom to walk away. To leave, to go on his own, and to go free, the word is there, free, to do whatever he wants to do. Do you know that Jesus paid an awesome debt for us? He paid an awesome debt, and I feel the load, amen, of knowing that he paid the price for me. I feel indebted to him. I feel that he has paid an awesome price for me. Amen. When he paid the debt upon the cross for all of my sins, He paid that debt. He wiped it all clean. He paid that debt, and I feel a responsibility towards God because of what He did for me on the cross. I feel that responsibility that I should serve Him, that I should live for Him, that I ought to serve the Lord because He paid a debt for me. Do you not ever feel that responsibility? Yes. Amen. That man, He paid the price. Yes. I should serve Him. Oh, yes. I should serve Him. Right. He paid the debt. He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross. Right. Amen. To save me. Amen. I feel a responsibility. Oh, yes. Amen. To serve my God. Since He paid such an awesome price for my soul, amen, I feel that I should serve Him. I should serve Him. And I think these people, they that serve, that they probably appreciated the fact that their debt was being paid. They probably looked down the road and said, 7 years, I'm walking free. 7 years down the road, when I've paid my debt, man, I'm going free. I'm going free. I'm going to leave this behind. They probably went into this servanthood with the idea that, you know what? Hey, man, in 7 years, I'm out of here. I'll do what I have to do. I'll fulfill all my obligations. But in 7 years, adios. A little Spanish lingo there for Sister Carla. Amen. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Amen. And I'm done with it after I have paid my debt. After I've paid my debt. Amen. But I'll tell you what, there is a responsibility that I feel on my life. Amen. That I should serve the Lord. That I should serve the Lord. Amen. If you read in the Gospels, you'll find that there was a law that was by the Roman government, that the Romans could press a man into service and he could make him and command him and demand of him that he would go with him 1 mile. He could command him and he had no choice. Lay down everything that you have. Lay down what you're doing. You are commanded by Roman authority to go with me for 1 mile. Remember the Lord Jesus said, if you are compelled to go with them 1 mile, remember that? The Lord Jesus talked about that. Amen. Can you imagine what it would be like for a Jewish man to be compelled to go into service for 1 mile to a Roman soldier? Kind of like that little boy that got in trouble. And his mom told him he had to sit in the corner until his dad got home. And he went and he sat in the corner. And as he sat there, he said to the wall, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Yeah, that's the way them. I may be walking this mile, but I don't want to do it. I'm not liking any of it at all. I despise this person. I despise it. I don't. It's not what I want to do. Amen. To go with him 1 mile, but what Jesus say? Amen. If you're compelled to go 1 mile, go with him twain. Amen. That first mile. Amen. You're doing it because you have to do it. You're made to do it. Because there's a sword in your back prodding you along saying you have to do it. Amen. You've got to serve. You've got to do your part. Amen. This man, for 7 years, the servant had to serve. For 1 mile, the Jewish man had to walk, amen, and serve the Roman authority, amen. But for 1 mile, and I tell you, there's so many Christians, they feel a responsibility to Jesus Christ for because he died and paid the debt for them. They go down to an altar and they cry and they find forgiveness. And the debt is paid. And the debt is washed away. Amen. They feel like their responsibility that they have to do that. But there comes a time, amen, when something needs to change inside of us. Amen. That we are no longer just filling our time. That we are no longer just walking our mile. But what we are doing it, amen, from the depths of our heart. And because we love God. Amen. What did it say here in Exodus chapter 21? After 7 years, he can go free. Or, if he plainly say, notice those words, if he plainly say, I love my master. Hallelujah. I love my master. What are you talking about? Amen. For these past 7 years, he's done me nothing but good. He has cared for me. He has looked out after me. He has provided everything that I have needed. He has blessed me with children. He has blessed me with family. He has blessed me in every way of my life. I cannot complain about my treatment. I love my master. Hallelujah. I love my master. He's been good to me. Amen. Then if he plainly say, I love my master and I will not go free. What's he saying? I love my master and I will always serve him. I don't want to serve anybody else. Amen. I want to live with him for the rest of my life. I want to serve him for the rest of my life. Wait a minute now. You don't have to do that. Nobody's making you. The law does not require it. I know it don't require it. I know it don't, but I'm serving him because I love him. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, Christian? And there needs to be a day when you plainly say, you hear me? Plainly say, I love my master. I love Jesus Christ. I love him with all my heart. Amen. God's been good to me. God has blessed me. God has provided for me. God has given me shelter. God has given me food. God has clothed me. God has given me family. God has given me children. God has blessed me in every way. I love the Lord. I love him. I love him, and I will not go away. I will not go away. Amen. Jesus said they'll compel you to go a mile. Go with them, twain. Amen. That first mile, the sword is prodding you in the back as you carry a burden. You're muttering under your breath the whole way. You don't like it. Every bad thought about Roman governments running through the mind. Amen. But suddenly you pass that mile marker. And now you know that you can lay it down. You can turn around and say, adios. Okay, you can turn it around. You can walk away from it. You can leave it. But now you say, no, I'm going to go with him another mile. I'm going to carry this burden because I want to carry this burden. I'm going to go this way because I want to go this way. Amen. I'm going to do it. Amen. Now because I desire to do this, that second mile. Can I tell you, man, until you get to the point in your walk with God, that you say, I love my master. I love my master. Hallelujah. See, there's people that they give their life to the Lord because they feel like they have to. They give their life to the Lord because they feel like if they don't, they know they're going to go to hell and they're going to be lost forever. Some people give their life to the Lord just because out of fear. Because their life is so miserable, they're trying to get free from it. But there needs to be a day when something changes inside of you. When you begin to realize, you know what? Hey, amen, I love my Lord. My Lord's been so good to me, hey, amen, that I will serve Him. That I will live for Him. Hey, amen, that I will gladly give my life to Him. Amen. Not because I owe it, but because I love Him. Amen. That's when, amen, that service to the Lord, amen, becomes a joy, becomes a delight. Amen. To serve God. Amen. Because I love Him. Yes. And there's too many people that's serving the Lord because the pastor wants them to. Yeah. Right. The preacher demands it. Yeah. Mom and dad expects it. They can't participate in this function or that function if they don't live this way or that way. Amen. That's no way to live. Let me tell you what. That's servanthood. That is bondage. That is bondage. But there needs to be a day, amen, when suddenly you're not doing the things that you're doing. Amen. Because you have to. Because you're made to. But now you're living the way that you live. Because you love God. Amen. You're dressing the way you dress. Because you love the Lord. Amen. You are going the way that you go. Because you love God. And when you get to that place, amen, serving God becomes a delight. It becomes a joy. Amen. And you rejoice. Amen. To serve God. Amen. It's got to get to that point. You say, I love the Lord. Why is it that people give themselves to the Lord and they pray and they ask God to forgive them and they endure only for a short time? It's because they never really fell in love with God. Never got to the point where they just loved the Lord more than everything else. Amen. They never got to the point where they could say, I love my master. I love what my master has done for me. I love the good things he has given him. Amen. I don't know any of you here today that should not be in love with the Lord. And should not, I'll tell you what, he's been good to you. Amen. He's blessed you. He's brought you a mighty long way. He's given you so much. You ought to be able to say, I love my master. Hallelujah. I love him. Hallelujah. Amen. I hear people say, man, living that holy life, living holiness, that's a life of bondage. No, it's only bondage to those that do not love the Lord. That's right. It's only bondage to those that do not love God. Right. But if you love the Lord, amen. Right. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. This man can say, no, I serve this master because, not because I have to, but because I want to. And some people say, well, you have to live that way. You have to live that way. You have to do that. You have to be like that. You have to. That's not the case. Amen. There was a day that I said, Lord, I want to serve. I want to live for you. I want to please you. I love my master. I love my master. Hallelujah. I love my master. I don't care, Lord. Man, I don't want to go anywhere. Who but you, Lord, can bless me? Who else could keep me like you keep me? Who else is going to provide for me like you provide for me? Who else is going to look out after my well-being like you look out after me, Lord? Where else could I go? Where else would I turn? Lord, I love you. You're everything to me. You've given me all that I have. And I owe it all to you, Lord. Therefore, I'll serve you. Amen. Somebody tonight needs to plainly say, I love my master. Love my master. I will live for him. I don't want to go away from him. I've been with my master for so long, I can't imagine what it would be like to walk away from him. Can't imagine what it would be to go free from my master. Hallelujah. I love him. Therefore, I serve. The Bible says that if a man plainly say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go free. They'll bring him to the door, to the doorpost. And they will drive his ear through with an owl. They will put a mark upon him in the ear. They will put a mark upon him. He will not be like he once was. He will be forever marked. He will be forever identified. Forever identified. I think it's interesting that they take him to the door of the master's house. And there, they put his ear to the wood of that door frame, and they mark his ear and drive it through. Probably leaving a mark on the door frame. Right? And every time that man walks in that door, he can reach over and feel that mark. This is my master's place. This is where I'm at, where I put myself down and put myself and said, Lord, I'm yours. And I will forever serve you. I will forever serve you. Man, there's some Christians that need to get themselves down to the altar. They need to lay themselves down to an altar. Amen. They need to have their heart driven through by the presence of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. That so penetrates them that they are forever changed, forever altered, forever marked. That they will never, ever be the same again. Because now I am chosen. I love my master. And this is how I will live. I will live for him. I will serve him forever and ever. And I love my master. I love my master. What about you tonight? Do you love the Lord? Do you love him so much? And no, not, I mean, do you love him? Do you love him? Jesus even had to ask Peter 3 times. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I'm asking, do you love the Lord? I'm asking you, do you love the Lord? I said, do you love the Lord?
Hallelujah.
I love him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. When you got saved, the Lord started doing great things in your life. Hand of God on your life. He touched you.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, my. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Friday night, Brother Guy shared his testimony with me. And Brother Guy, it has stirred me. How God loves us so much. God loves us so much. Man, I told him, I don't have a testimony like that. I mean, it's, you know, but my, God loves us. That he would save us. That he would save us. Do you feel that responsibility to serve the Lord? But oh, there needs to come a day when it's, Lord, it's not just, I'm just not paying you back for saving me. But Lord, I'm doing this because I love you. I love you. And Lord, I'll serve you because I love you. Let me tell you, church, I don't know where all of you came from. But I know this, that one day Jesus saved your soul. He saved you and Dominic, remember where God brought you from, son. What a mighty God. What a mighty God that he would save us. That he would save us. Church, why don't we just lift our hands and let's tell him how much we love him.
Thank you. someone today. Someone.